Where we are today. We're going to try to finish out the chapter. I got all sorts of time today. Should be able to do it, right? We're going to try and finish out that. You laugh. Fine. We're going to try and finish out the chapter anyway. Well, there's a lot of verses there. There's quite a few verses. So we're going to be in chapter 11. Going to be going from verse 32 clear through 40. So verse 32, chapter 11 of Hebrews, starting in verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign enemies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting the release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword. They went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. There is a lot here. We're going to try, though. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for this truth of your word. Father, he's wrapping up a section here, which is showing the people that they admired from the old covenant system had faith. And they had faith in the new covenant. They had faith in what these folks here needed to have faith in, Christ. Lord God, I pray that as we go through this, it would build us. It would build our faith so that we can stand without fear, so that we can stand on truth without the fear of rejection, without the fear of what the world says, without the the fear of what the world may do. Father God, there are many, Lord, again, I bring to heart the situation in Afghanistan, because we had opportunities there to share truth. There was missions over there that were sharing the truth. And now, Lord God, there's going to be people who are going to have to fit right into Hebrews chapter 11. They're going to have to stand on their faith, which is going to be a completely hard situation, terribly hard situation. But Lord, it's even in a much smaller consequential way happening even here, where we need to stand on faith, on what your word says, despite the consequences. Lord God, thank you that that faith brings about focus. It brings about the courage it takes, simply because of that eternal mindset, of that seeing what is unseen, seeing Christ in us, our hope of glory. We love you, we honor and worship your name, Jesus' name. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, where we have come, the writer of the book is seeking to help the people understand that Christ is superior. Because he's talking to a group of people who call themselves Christians, many of whom are. But there are several in there that are not. And what they want to do is to get back under a religious system. They want to leave this system and go back under a religious system in which they won't have the persecution. They won't have the problems that they're having because of the name of Christ. So the writer is seeking to let them know that Christ is superior to that old religious system. The religious system he's talking about is the Judaistic system. So you have the angels, which were highly important, and the prophets, and the Moses and Abraham, and all these folks who were very important under that system, under the old covenant system. He says Christ is superior to all of them. He says the real problem in chapter 6, he says, is unbelief. It's that you haven't gone on to believe. You've seen how God works. You've been a part of it. You've been in the church setting. You've been there. You've seen how the Holy Spirit works. And yet you haven't gone on to belief, to true belief. You haven't accepted that. Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So therefore, when there's an issue, when there's a problem, I want to run. I want to leave. I want to go back under a system where I can feel secure and yet not be persecuted. So he says the problem then is unbelief. And he goes on and talks about the high priesthood of Christ. Rather than a man priest, have Christ as your priest. He then compares the old covenant to the new through chapters 8 through 10. It's my favorite, some of my favorite chapters in Scripture. But he compares the value of the new covenant. But then he gets on to chapter 11 and he talks about the people who these folks were going to be going under that religious system which revered these people. People like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses. These people were high figures in the old covenant system. He goes under and he says, look, these folks that you want to go back under as part of a religious system, they weren't part of that religious system. In fact, they had faith because they had an eternal mindset. They looked ahead. And when they came under problems, when they came under circumstances that were bad, they had faith that gave them courage to withstand those circumstances, to go through those circumstances faithfully. And so he's gone through quite a few of those people. Well, we've gone up to the end here. We had just looked at, last week we looked at the J guy, the guy that marched around the wall there, Joshua and Rahab. So we looked at those two. One's a great leader and the other is a harlot. And yet, they're both in here because they exhibited faith in spite of the circumstances. So we're going to finish it out here. He's brought up all these folks that they would have recognized. Well, now he's just going to lay it out on the table. So what we're looking at is continued courage of faith. And so we're looking at, there's too many to count. Look at verse 32. And what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets. So there's all of these, there's so many more. And by the way, these are not chronological. He's not saying this guy and then this guy and then this. They were the only one. He says, he didn't say, and by the way, these are the only ones that had faith. No. He's saying, look, there's so many more that I don't even have time to cover it. Number one, I don't have time. Number two, I don't have the ability to write them all down in this letter. It would make it a huge, long letter. So he gives some examples, but he says, people like this. All right? So these examples that he gives, they were leaders. They were the leaders. They were the ones who stood out, and the people that he's writing to would have known them, would have known all about what they did. So he says, just like these, and he says, there's more. There's so many more. But I don't even have time to go over all of these. But he gives some examples. He gives, I think, 6 or 7, I don't know. But he says, of Gideon. Gideon, they would have known Gideon. Now, Gideon didn't want to be a leader of an army. In fact, he was in a cave hiding from the Midianites, doing his thing in the cave because he didn't want to get caught. He asked for something. Now, I'm telling you this because I want you to relate to these guys, okay? Because Gideon, he had to ask for signs. Look, he said, you know, let the dew be wet, but this thing be dry. And it was. Oh, well, that was a coincidence. Let's try it the other way around. Okay, so he's asking for all these signs. We look at him and say, well, where's the faith? Where's the faith? But he went out and said, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. I'll do it. And he gathered an army of 30,000 people, and God says, too many. So he asked him who wanted to stay, and 20,000 of them left. There's 10,000 people. Now, keep in mind that the Midianite army, the only description we have of them is that they were like the sand of the sea. Massive amount of people, hundreds of thousands of soldiers. And here he's down to 10,000, and God says, well, that's too many. So they do the water test, you know, and they come up with 300 guys. God says, okay, that's enough. Here's Gideon. Okay. okay, Lord, 300? So, but we see that he had the faith to follow through with what God said. And it worked. It did it. I mean, and there were no loss of life with those 300 people. There was none of them lost their life. And all they had was a pitcher and a thing that holds fire. Torch, thank you. And a torch. That's all they had. And it never says that they took their swords and killed it. It doesn't say it because God fought that battle and God did it. But Gideon said, okay. All right, so there's an example of faith. He had the courage to go forth in that, even though he was a man not of courage. Barak. We don't know very little about Barak. All we know is that Deborah was the judge at that point, at that time, and she asked Barak to get an army together just out of two tribes of Israel. And so he did it, and he got 10,000 people, and God revealed to him that he would fight and that he would win, but he would not get any of the credit. How about that? God said, okay, you're going to do it, but you're not going to get any of the credit. And so the king of that other army was killed by Deborah. Was killed, not, it was a gal. It wasn't even a warrior, you know. And Barak didn't get all the credit that he deserved. But you know what? Barak didn't care. He was faithful. He had courage. God said it. And he's the one that brought Deborah because she was the one God was using. So he exhibited faith that way. He exhibited that courage. Samson. We have Samson. Now, whenever you think of Samson, usually you don't think of a man of faith. You think of a strong guy, right? Dumb strong guy. It's where you come up with the, you know, all brawn and no brains. The guy was self-centered. He was very self-focused through all of his life. And yet he is still, God says he had courage. Why? God says he had faith. Because when God gave him strength, he used it. Most people think he was strong all the time. No, the Bible says that the Spirit came on him mightily. In fact, when he was in a prisoner, the last thing he did, the Spirit came on him mightily. And he exhibited courage because of his faith. Jephthah, next guy, he was a warrior. And he won his various battles, but he made some really stupid decisions, really crazy oaths that he made, an oath to whatever comes out of his house he's going to kill, sacrifice. Well, we don't see the consummation of that sacrifice. We don't know whether she died or whether she was just set aside never to marry or whatever it was. Being given Israel's heritage, that probably wasn't a human sacrifice. But it was still a dumb thing to do. And yet God used him. And yet he is accounted as having faith because he believed what God said. You have David. He was called a man after God's own heart. He won so many battles. He was trusted God so many times. He fought Goliath. Remember, as a young man, he fought Goliath and won. He did all these great things. And you know what he was? He was an adulterer, he was a murderer, and he was a lousy father. All of these things. And yet, he's put in here as a man of faith. The reason I'm telling you all this is because I want you to know that these guys were not perfect in their actions. They didn't live out perfectly the faith. They didn't have a perfect, because we get in our head, well, you know, if you sin sometime, well, you're not faithful at all. No, these guys, many of them were just, didn't look very faithful, you know? But yet, when it came down to it, they believed what God said. They had faith in it, so much so that it gave them courage to stand firm when they needed to. The last one, I think, is Samson. Nope, not Samson. Samuel. He was a prophet. He wasn't that fighting warrior, but he was fought spiritual battles. He was he trusted God. He went through Saul and David. He had courage in all that because of his faith. It's what these folks needed to hear, and it's what we need to know and to hear. And then he says the prophets, the other prophets. You have unnamed prophets, numerous ones. Elijah, Elisha. You have Jeremiah, Isaiah. You have Hosea. There's a good story. Yeah, amazing, amazing acts of faith. But, you know, we look back and say, oh, well, these are astounding. And no, these are just them saying, you know what, God said this, it's got to be true. It's them having that eternal mindset saying, you know what, what's greater than my circumstances is that God has promised me heaven. God has promised Messiah. So that when I get into difficult circumstances, when I get into problems, and I don't have the courage in and of myself, I stand on what God says. Because I have courage in what God says rather than what I say. So when God says don't lie, I don't want to lie. When God says to be honest, I want to be honest. When God says to be kind to your enemies, I don't want to do that. And yet God says, what God says matters. Because our home is not here. We're aliens and sojourners. We already learned that through in Hebrews. But we have a home in heaven. We have a home eternally. We have a home in God's kingdom. Not only that, but we have God with us. He's our hope, Christ. Christ in us, our hope of glory. Right? That's what the word says. We have God right here. So that's what he was talking about before. The reason that they could stand firm on what God says, even on the Messiah, was that they had an eternal mindset and they saw what was unseen, which is the definition of faith. Faith is that assurance of what's hoped for, the essence or the conviction of what's not seen. That God is here, that God is in us. So that we get the opportunity to serve the true and living God. Now, what happened? Look at the next verse. Where is the next verse? Verse 33. Who by faith, and by the way, that by there is different than all the other verses. In verse 27, by faith, 28, by faith, 29, by faith. This word is dia. It's a word through. Through the agency of faith. Not because of faith, but through that faith. By faith or through faith, conquered kingdoms. All right. So you have conquered kingdoms. Well, you have David, Gideon, Jephthah, Barak. You have the next one. Performed acts of righteousness. There was Samuel, David, the prophets, even Samson. Obtained promises. There was physical promises, victories. You know, the rain came. Shut the mouths of lions. You have Daniel. You have Samson. He did that. The next one, quenched the power of fire. You have Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. So you see these things under the old covenant system. That's what this writer wanted them to see, that they did these things, but not, they did them through the agency of faith. They had to have faith that what God was doing was true. Otherwise, they never would have got in that fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would never have gotten in there. They escaped the edge of the sword. You have David, the prophets. You have Jeremiah. From weakness, they were made strong. Definitely Samson. David, Gideon. They became mighty in war. All of those again. They put foreign armies to flight. Same way, Barak and Gideon and David. Women received back their dead by resurrection. This was Elijah brought back that widow son and the member of the Shuhamite woman with Elisha, brought back that her son. They received them back by resurrection, and others were tortured. Now this one I want you to see here. This is an amazing thing. Others were tortured because this all goes together. Others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were tortured. The word tortured here, it's really a neat word. In the original language, it's tumphanizo. We get our word timpani from. Remember the kettle drum in the band when you were growing up? The timpani, those big kettle drums? That's where we get our word from, tumphamazo. And it was a big wheel, a big round deal that they would stretch skins, animal skins out on and scrape them and beat them so that make them soft. Well, they would take those things and they would put these people who had faith in what God said, and they would stretch them out on them, and they would beat on them and say, no, you need to recant. You need to renounce that. You need to conform to our way, to our religious system. And here's what they would do. They would, verse 35. They would not accept, it says, not accepting their release. In other words, they didn't recant that. God showed them this, and they stood on it on faith, not accepting their release so that they could have, what, a better resurrection. Why does it say that? Because the resurrection of is to heaven, it's to God. How can you get a better one? Well, that is the better one, okay? What he's talking about here is they could have been, quote, resurrected back to their former life. They could have had their former life if they would have just recanted that. No, they didn't. Said, no, there's a better resurrection. There's a better one. So I can die here and I'll have a better resurrection than if I live here and live out according to what the scripture has already called the passing pleasures of sin. The passing pleasures of the moment. This life. In other words, that life is so much better than this life. And they understood that, and they would not turn because of that. Now, if you've ever seen Fox's Book of Martyrs, I read a lot of that, I don't know, years and years ago, but I still remember. I still remember some of the things that were there. Because you had somebody who did recant, said, okay, well, I won't trust God. I don't believe in Christ. And he felt so horrible after that. He went back and he said, okay, there's no way I'm going to not follow Christ. And they said, well, you'll be burned at the stake. He said, burn my hand first, because that's the one that wrote my name on that recantation. He says, burn that first, and then you can burn the rest of me. And so God gave the courage when that happened. The circumstances were horrible. And these circumstances will keep going because they get worse. It says, others experienced mockings and scourging. So you had emotional and you had physical issues going on. Yes, also chains and imprisonment. Remember Jeremiah and Isaiah? These guys were thrown in prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. And by the way, sawn in two, that's not a figure of speech. Church tradition says that Isaiah was sawn in two. And these guys were prophets in Israel. And Israel hated them. You know, it's amazing because it's not outside forces that were killing a lot of those prophets. It's the people of Israel. Because they brought the truth and the people did not want that truth. They wanted to live a nice, happy, easy life. And yet they came and said, look, you're sinful and you're sinning and you're causing God to turn away from you. And they didn't want that message. So they would attack the messenger, right? So that's what went on. So over and over, what this writer is trying to get these people to understand is over and over, those people that were part of that old covenant system, part of what that religious system was based around, those people actually lived by faith in what was to come. Keep going. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted. That word tempted could either mean tried or tribulation. They're all three the same word. They were put to death with the sword. I want you to note that, because not all of them here won every battle. Not all of them here were cured of sickness. Not all of them here were raised from the dead. Not all of them here got good circumstances by standing on faith. Some of them died. You see that? They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. Sheepskins and goatskins. Sounds good, doesn't it? You know what? The people that wore the sheepskins that was put on them out of punishment. They were made to wear sheepskins because they were very rough. It wasn't that they sheared the sheep and made nice, soft clothing. They put the skins on them, and they were very rough. And the only thing rougher was goatskins. So it was sheepskins and goat. it was not a good thing to wear that. It was not a feel-good thing. It was a problem, and it was put upon them, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. So all of these things were bad. And it says, men whom the world were not worthy, of whom? And you know, the world at that point, even Israel, was looking at them saying, you are not worthy, because you're telling us we're wrong, because you're pointing out something we don't want to hear. You're not worthy. But they stood in faith. And it says that the world wasn't worthy of them, because they were bringing the truth. Wandering in deserts, mountains, caves, and holes in the ground. Four worst places. I mean, the horrible places to be. Deserts, mountains. I know. Everybody says you need to go to the mountains, right? Have you ever driven in the mountains? I think the world should be like Iowa. I really do. You know, you can have a hill once in a while. That's not bad. But we went out west, and we drove up and up and up, and you keep driving up and up, and you're going, this is ridiculous, you know? And then you get snow on top, and then you start driving down, and then your brakes go. But he says, look, they're wandering all around. So what I'm doing is destroying your conception that the mountains are cool. Because there's bad things to them, right? But these guys, that's what they had. They were everywhere, the worst places you could be, but God allowed them to be there. And because God allowed them to be there, that was the right place they need to be. And you know why that was the right place? You know why being ill-treated was okay? I don't mean it was okay to do that to them, but I mean that the writer is pointing out that they were ill-treated and they went about in sheepskins and goatskins. You know why? It's because these people were wanting to escape a little suffering because of their circumstances. And these folks here that he's talking about didn't want to escape their circumstances. They wanted to stand in faith. And you know what? God sometimes didn't get them out of those circumstances. He sometimes didn't let them win that war. He sometimes didn't let them get out of that illness. He sometimes let the enemy kill them. Because of that faith, because of their stand. And he did that so that we could look back and say, you know what? We need that. We need to see those examples. We need to see that. God allowed that for our benefit. We're going to see that. Go on. Go on, verse 39. And all these, having gained approval, there's a word, having gained approval for faith, you know what that having gained approval is? That word gained approval in the original language is martyrion. We get our word martyr from. Gained approval by giving up their life for the fact of faith. Gained approval by giving up their, and they might not have died, but they gave up their life willing to die because of faith. And look what it says. It says gained approval through faith. Now that word there is not there. It's not in the original language. It's through faith. Now, yes, it was their faith, but it was the faith. It's got a definite article front. They gained approval through the faith. They gave up their life through the faith. They gave up completely of themselves. They didn't hold on so tightly to this world system. They gave that up for the faith. And it's a specific faith. Look what it says. And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Now think about it. Some of them did. Gideon won. Barak won. Well, they received what was physically promised, but they didn't receive what was spiritually promised. You know what that is? The Messiah didn't come. All throughout the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the Messiah. And what we find out when the Messiah came was they were looking forward to a physical Messiah to set up his kingdom right there on earth and make Israel great. But all of them trusted that the Messiah was going to come. But they never saw him come. They didn't see that. It was promised, and they trusted that God would fulfill his promise, but they never saw it. They never saw it. So in other words, they had to stand on faith that God would do that. And look at the next verse, because this is where it gets fun. Because God had provided something better for us. So put those two verses together. And these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. In other words, they needed us to happen, just like we needed them to happen. They looked forward to a Messiah in faith. We look back on the Messiah in faith. It's the same faith. Scripture says in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." Guess what? And that's not of yourself. Grace is, I believe, masculine. Faith is feminine. And that not of yourself, is neuter. In other words, it encompassed both grace and faith. We didn't make grace and faith happen in our life. God did. He gave that to us as a gift. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, we didn't work for our salvation. God gave it to us freely. We work because of it. Even in Philippians, it says that. He says to work out your own salvation. He's given us the will and to work for his good pleasure. So we understand that, yes, we have a responsibility, and yes, we have a response to what God has done for us. We respond by serving, but faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. Faith is seeing what is unseen. It's knowing what you cannot grab is true. These folks knew that the Messiah was coming, but they never saw it. But in us, they get to see it, and we'll learn about that next week, because next week is where we're going to really see how their life affects us, okay? But we can look back at what they did, who they were, and what we see is people standing by faith in spite of the circumstances. And that they needed our time to come because they needed the Messiah to happen. And he did. He came. That's what perfected him. The word perfected, that would not be made perfect. I've lost my place completely. But anyway, they would not be made perfect. It's a subjunctive, which means it's a possibility, and it's in the passive voice, which means that God would not have made them perfect and not even given them a chance to be perfected without us, without our time, without the Messiah coming. See, we're living in the post Messianic time. In other words, he has come and he has died. But yet we have to look back on that and have faith that God accomplished his promise through Jesus Christ. That's salvation. When we look back and see that God sent his son Jesus to die for the sins of the whole world. My sin, your sin. And that those who trust in Jesus Christ, they have they get the I don't even know the right words. Romans chapter 5 says those who receive that, who grasp and receive that salvation, they get all the benefits from it. They get all the blessings from it. Those who don't, they don't get any benefits from it. So that's salvation, and that's what he's trying to impress upon these folks here. He's saying, look, you want to quit. You want to go back under that religious system when everybody that religious system reveres, all of these important people that religious system reveres, had faith to look towards the new covenant. And here you have the new covenant sitting right in front of you, but instead of believing, you want to go under what makes you feel good circumstantially. Well, guess what? They didn't care about their circumstances. They were being beat on like a Tiffany is beat on. And they would not accept their release. They would not say, no, it's I recant of any of that. They would not do that because they wanted a true resurrection and a true life rather than just taking this life as being their only resurrection. Rather than coming back alive to this life and saying, well, that's good enough. It's not good enough. We need to have an eternal perspective just like they had. And when we benefit from them so much, and they have benefited from us. They need us just like we need them. They show us true faith in looking ahead, having an eternal mindset to the Messiah, and we look back on that Messiah in faith the same as them. And like I said, next week we're going to see a lot of how that fits together. It'll make more sense then. But why are we so important to them? Because they needed Christ, just like we need him. We all need his sacrifice, his blood, his death and resurrection. They need us to come to faith and live it out just like they did. Just like they did. Our lives reflect their faith just like theirs reflects ours. It, like I said, it'll make more sense next week. But in salvation, we're talking about coming to the full knowledge of having Jesus Christ be your Lord and Savior. Of being willing to stand in faith in any circumstance. And these guys were not. Some of these folks were saying, no, I don't want to stand. This is hard. This is difficult. And folks, a lot of us haven't been through that situation. I fear it's coming. It's happening now in Afghanistan. Like it can't ever happen. Yes, it is, and it does. Happens in Turkey. Happens in Iran. There's places all over that it's happening. But it's going to happen here probably at some point. Why? Because persecution builds what? Perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not make us ashamed. Because the love of Christ has grown in our hearts and gone forth. Right, so the only way we can have true hope is go through that. And I fear there's, especially with our younger folks, it's hard for them to see that. They didn't go through a lot of the wars that our parents have, or I've seen. But the thing is, they didn't have, on 9/11, church was full. People were scared because they recognized that we were being attacked. And they look to God at that. So guess what? Persecution brings about perseverance, all right? Perseverance, proven character, hope. So you go to God when you need hope. Well, guess what? God might allow us to need hope. But in the midst of that, we are to have faith. We are to stand firm on what God says. And God says that he made man and woman. He made them to be married. He made children to obey their parents. He set up the parameters in marriage. He did all of this, and when we follow those parameters, we live. It works. Society works. But now Satan has done such a job in brainwashing, trying to get us away from the church, away from the family, away from God. And if he can do that, then when we stand up and say, you know what, God's truth says this, we're going to be persecuted. And it'll be a lot easier just to fit in. When our circumstances are going to be hard, what are we going to do? That's the question. Well, we get to look back at these guys, and we get to see how they stood in, and how they had an eternal mindset, and we get encouraged by that. We get to say, you know what, they did it because God gave them faith, we can do it. Because God has given us faith. And don't get me wrong, it will never be that quick and easy. Ever. It will be hard. It's hard now. We don't have near the persecution that could be. But it's hard now to stand up and say, no, God says this. You might get laughed down. Isaac said that last week, I believe. Anyway, when you were at Testify Camp, he would go out. They would study in the morning and then go out in the afternoon and spend a little time at the booth and then go out street witnessing, which he loved. He loves talking to people. But he would go out and street witnessing. And he said, but then they would come together and they would pray. They would stand together and pray. And he said, you'd hear people go by just snickering, just laughing. While they stood and prayed. Well, it looks foolish to the world. It does look foolish. And that's part of in here, that mocking. We haven't got to the scourging yet, but we got to the mocking part. It looks dumb. But it's not dumb to stand on what God says. When God moves in your heart, follow his word. Follow the truth. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to come to know him at salvation right now. Accept his sacrifice for your sins. Don't try and work out your salvation yourself. You don't have to. He's already sacrificed his blood for you. But if you have been saved, know this. You need to stand firm. Depend upon your Father. Know what the Word says and stand on what the Word says. And let Him bless you for it. Let Him show you the blessings He's given you. Don't worry about the blessed gaining. Like Barak. Well, it's not fair. I fought this battle. I should get the credit. No, that's not what he said. He said, you want me to fight? That's where I'll go. All right? So there are clear principles in the Word of God. Follow them. Follow what God says. Let Him bless you. Let's close. Father God, thank you so much for these examples we have. And what we're going to see next week is they're cheering for us. Lord, what we're going to see next week is we needed to see that so we could have an example of how to stand in faith, through an agency of faith, the faith that you have given. Because, Father God, we are so weak in and of ourselves. We don't have courage in and of ourselves. But your faith produces courage that we need in every circumstance, so that when we have circumstances that bowl us over, we can still stand. We can still praise your name. We can still shout hallelujah. We can still tell others of the truth. And Lord, that's so hard. And we're not even being persecuted so much for it. But yet it's still hard. Mainly because of our pride, I think. But a lot because we don't really recognize our eternal mindset. We don't really recognize that you are in us. And that that is our hope of glory. Not my money, not my vehicles, not my house, not my circumstances, not my health. Not any of that is my hope of glory. Lord, you are my hope of glory. Jesus Christ is what he has done. Help us to share that through our life, through our very existence, through our actions and our words. We love you. It's through Jesus Christ I pray. Amen.